This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Duke's new art museum, the Nasher, opens this weekend in Durham. The $23 million museum will house the university's permanent collection and new exhibits of modern and contemporary art. Raphael Vignoli is the museum's architect. We'll speak with him later in the program. Raymond Nasher is an art collector, major donor to the museum. He's in the studio with us now. Ray Nasher, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here with the new museum.
The new museum that is largely your inspiration. Tell us what led to this.
When I was here and et cetera, I wrote a column for the Duke Chronicle back in the 40s. And in other words, I indicated that I thought cultural aspects would be very important for Duke. Well, then years later, 50 years later, I was on the board, of course, and then related to it, and then felt strongly that back in 67 they took an old science building and put a small museum in there. Then my feeling was that we needed, in order to be a great university and have a wonderful cultural program, that we needed a major museum. So I decided that we should build one.
And Duke certainly earned its reputation. It was really founded as a kind of a science museum and, a university.
Right.
So is it a hard sell to say, hey, we've got to move over, you've got to start thinking about the arts now?
No, I just think cultural aspects of it are just very important in the whole educational process for all the students and the faculty and all the people around this part of the country. So that, in essence, I think that art is truly one of the most important segments of our lifestyle.
I've read where you said that we simply don't pay enough attention to art and the impact that it could have on our lives if we would take more time to enjoy art.
Well, that's true, because art, basically, if one goes back to the Egyptians and the Romans and the Greeks and the rest, and you see the great works of art, and then go through the Renaissance period and the Sistine Chapel and all the wonderful things, and then come down to modern art with Rodin and Picasso and Matisse and the rest, these things are permanent. These things are parts of our whole environment. And we live a better life if we have art as a part of everything we do in our lifestyle.
And you've been collecting art for a long time.
Yes, since the 50s. We decided that we'd have our daughters exposed to important art, and so we said if we had any extra funds, we'd put it in art. And that went on to the fact that I decided in our development programs, in the real estate development and banking that I was involved in, that art should be a partner to commerce. And so since the 50s, early 60s, I've always placed sculpture and art and paintings in all of the developments that I've done.
Are you worried at all that in this society, in the U.S. anyway, that art has become commerce?
Common?
Has become commerce, that it is that we don't appreciate art for its own sake, but certainly investors have played a big role.
I think that's true for some people, but I think that's a minority aspect of it. Art is still something that one has to have in their home or in their office or wherever they may be, and it's an uplifting experience, etc. So I think the commercial aspect of it is the same as commercial aspect of investors who are buying it to increase their asset value, etc. But my personal feeling is that art is still something that is a major factor in everyone's life.
So now it has its own building on the Duke campus. You've seen it. How do you feel about it?
I think it's very exciting, an incredible building, unique in university museums. It has a 13,000 square foot atrium, which can hold any kind of cultural facility, etc., and then three great exhibition halls and an auditorium which can be used as a classroom or for performances or music or cinema, and a wonderful cafe, and then a administrative area and classroom. I think it has both the indoor-outdoor relationship and feeling. So I think it's a new form of architecture for Duke.
Well, the architect is on the line with us now. Raphael Vignoli is the museum's architect. Raphael, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Tell us a little bit about the design.
Well, as I am sure you heard from Ray before, all of this has been an extraordinarily integrated process with he himself, who has taken, as I'm sure you can notice, a very active and proactive approach to not only the site selection, but also the kind of freedom that that we could have to actually approach the design in an effective manner, and at the same time, very much ingrained into the tradition, although it's not literal, of the kind of architecture that makes Duke such a phenomenal campus. And what we tried to do since after some studies were performed to try to compare different sites is to really locate the museum at an extraordinarily important juncture of two streets that lead both to the city as well as to the main campus. And this was something that was in Ray's image from the very beginning, because he sees and saw before the museum as a contribution to a much larger community than just the university community, and that's something that it is very clear now, and it's becoming more and more obvious when people approach not just the building itself, but the very notion of the museum being something at an international scale with a capacity to curate important shows and to really bring up a number of notches the presence of Duke University in the art world. The building then evolved from this idea that today, you know, this building type, it's been subject to a number of different interpretations, some of which in a certain way have penalized the organization of the galleries in response, or if you will, on behalf of architectural expression. And it's something that interests me from the very beginning, because the museum, the university, and Ray himself and his family all had the notion that after such an enormous amount of years of experience in lending their collection, in visiting different museums all over the world, he might have not told you this, but Ray is an advisor to a number of major institutions all over the world, and that's something that gives him an enormous amount of credentials in terms of this particular aspect.
Raphael, one of the aspects I want to talk about is this notion of integration, particularly with the inside and outside. One of the ideas.
It really came from the idea that we were going to start with a very uniform and very simple configuration of the galleries, and that somehow that configuration could be really made to work architecturally by just simply deploying these so-called boxes on a site which has its own architecture, so to speak. That is a very gentle slope, but a beautiful landscape, and that somehow the boxes themselves could establish a dialogue between each other and also with the landscape by transforming the interstitial space in between the boxes into this sort of shapeless lobby, atrium, gathering space.
While you're coming out of each, while the buildings themselves are separate buildings in a sense, you're always coming back to the center when you move from one building to another.
Which actually shortens the circulation, gives you a sense of orientation, and integrates the space of the museum with a garden-like experience, which is so typical of that region and of that particular landscape.
And Ray Nasher, there's something important, too, about the idea that you're going to come through this natural landscape before you come into the museum itself.
Yes, in other words, the landscaping with the trees, and I consider trees as living sculpture. In other words, they're the best sculpture in the world because they're alive, whereas all of the Picassos and the Rodins and the Moores and everything else are basically created. But in other words, we have the forest, we have that, and we wanted that to be integrated into the museum itself.
The other idea that Raphael, you just touched on, I want to ask Ray about this, is this notion of a world-class museum on a college campus, the idea that you're going to integrate not only campus life and the campus art scene, but you're going to invite the larger community in.
Yes, in other words, it's important. The museum is created, of course, for the students, the faculty, the university itself, but it spreads out beyond that. And exhibition areas can be utilized for major exhibitions. They have the quality level to take any exhibition from any museum in the world.
Well, for one thing, the doors are bigger.
Yeah, that's right.
In the old museum.
That's true.
Raphael, and light also plays a very important part in your design.
Yeah, and it's exactly this possibility of providing the galleries themselves with a chance of being naturally lit for the kind of material that would take that, but at the same time be completely pitch dark, and how you establish the transition between those environments and the very luminous space in the center. But you know, once you experience this sort of kind of garden-like quality of the trellis, I mean, you know, people tend to use these words that sound too sort of corporate, like, you know, the atrium or the grand hall or whatever. But the truth is that the idea is that it is part of the garden to the extent that the floor is almost a matching green with the outside grass on stone that we found in Canada. And I mean, so it makes these references to being under a trellis more than a big roof, say, quite compelling. I mean, I think it's a different take on how you actually approach this problem without the typical sort of position of thinking that the building is in itself a sculptural object. I mean, it's an architectural object to the extent that architecture has a component of formal manipulation, but not thought 100% as if it was just simply pure sculpture. Right?
Well, Raphael Vignoli, the Duke has been pretty fussy about the kind of architecture, maintaining a certain style of architecture. So when you came along with your plans, was this a point of contention at all?
Well, it wasn't, quite frankly. I mean, you know, as there is always, and I must say that this is something that only speaks highly of their own approach to this subject. Most people, either by disregard or by ignorance, I actually do not consider these issues of continuity and how to evolve it architecturally a matter that should be of concern of the people in charge of a campus of this significance. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Ray Nasher, as a graduate of Duke, I mean, how did you feel about it?
Yes, well, of course, you have the Gothic architect at the West Campus and the Georgian architect on the East Campus, et cetera, when I was there, and it's still there, et cetera. But my feeling was that the site, which is halfway between both campuses and is 9 acres and full of trees, et cetera, was a perfect place for the museum, and that it should relate to the postmodern period. In other words, it's a different world today, and that hopefully that if this is that important for the university and the architecture is that meaningful, that it'll be a catalyst for future buildings that are built in the area.
So, Ray, when the museum opens this Sunday, one of the five pavilions is going to have an exhibit of art from your own personal collection.
Yes.
It's the evolution of the Nasher collection. Some of those works have never been shown before. What are you most looking forward to sharing with the public?
Well, I think I haven't. The collection has been on exhibition throughout the world over the years since the 80s, but we've never had the evolution of the collection before, which Sarah Shaw, the curator, has put together from the time from our first painting, which is the Ben Shahn back in 1954, which was the tennis players, because I was captain of the Duke tennis team, and there was a tennis freak, and we saw that, and that was the first painting that we bought. And then my wife was deeply interested in Mayan textiles, so that's a part of the scene. And then basically she was had an incredible eye, and she basically was a good friend of Andy Warhol and Basquiat and all of those others, etc. So those are in the exhibition also. And then we go into the, I've been more classically involved, and we have wonderful Picasso painting, Picasso sculpture, and wonderful Matisse sculptures, and Giacometti, and the rest of it. So, but it's an evolution, the collection from the beginning.
Of your collection. So it chronologically sort of documents your collecting
from
period.
From the 50s till today.
Yeah. When you look over that period, do you sort of see periods in your life where kind of what you were thinking at the time and how your thoughts and ideas about art have changed over
Yes.
time?
Yes. Well, in other words, in those days, of course, we had very little funds. And so we'd go to Mexico on our digs and find pre-Columbian art on archaeological projects, etc. And we collected Mayan and Chinescan and Nayarit art, etc. And then as business improved, etc., we were able to get into the Hans Hoffmans and the Stuart Davises and the other great paintings. And then I decided that we would put sculpture into all of the projects that I created.
So if you're looking at the periods of the collector, you go from the blue period to the green period.
Right. And, yes, that's
and that's
right.
When things
much
start
different. Much different. That's right.
So what hope? What are your hopes for the impact on the city of Durham for this museum?
Well, I think that it should really add to it cultural facility that hopefully will be great for the educational conditions in the Durham schools, etc., just as it will be for the faculty at Duke and for the students at Duke, and will then be a place that basically parents will take their children, and then the all ages will want to be a part of the excitement of the exhibitions and the museum itself.
Raymond Nasher is an art collector, major donor to the Nasher Museum. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Raphael Vignoli is the architect of Duke's new Nasher Museum of Art. Raphael Vignoli, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Nasher Museum of Art at Duke University opens this Sunday, October 2nd. Admission that day is free. For more information, you can visit duke.edu. That's it for the State of Things. Thanks for listening. You can drop us an email at sot@wunc.org. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Frank Stachow.